All right. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Nick. I'm one of the elders here. Also had the privilege of helping work this VBS. We had such a great time last week. We're all very ready to be here. And we're here on Sunday. So back in the jungle. All right. So today what we're going to do is a special VBS celebration. I've got kind of an interactive message for us today. So we're going to keep the kids in here. Normally, on a normal Sunday, we'll have children's ministry. Well, we'll have a clubhouse for ages 2 to kindergarten. And then we have a what we call KICK, or Kids in Christ Kingdom. That's kindergarten through 5th grade. And so we'll have that next Sunday. But this Sunday, we'd like to invite all the children to stay here because I'm going to ask some questions, and there might be some prizes involved with the questions, so you better stay tuned. All right. So today what we're going to do is, the title of my message today is going to be History is His Story. Did you guys catch that? History is His Story. Okay? And so we're going to be going through, just like the sign says there, this was an epic cruise from Genesis to Revelation. So let's see if we can go through the whole Bible in 20 minutes. Are you guys ready? Can we do it? I think we're going to give it a try. All right, let's pray, and then we'll begin. So kids, do you remember how we prayed this week? What do? We put our hands up in the air, and we close them together, and then when they go past our eyes and our eyes and mouths close, and we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity you've given us today. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the wonderful weather that you gave us this week to be able to enjoy and to celebrate you and to worship you through this VBS. Father, I pray that you would just be with me this morning as I present this message. I pray that you and your words would be heard, and let that be done, and let your will be done this morning. Father, let there be ears to hear your message. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, so this week we went through a jungle cruise, and so I'm going to quickly take you guys through the same cruise. Are you guys ready? Are you ready to go on a cruise? There were 7 ports of call, or 7 seas. Does anybody remember what those were? What was the first sea? Does anybody remember? I want to hear it. Creation. Great job, Kalia. All right, here. You want a piece of candy there? Oh, Mr. Cam just intercepted it. Wow, that was quick. Rapid fire. All right. Does anybody remember what the second C was? Corruption. Great job, Everest. Okay, there we go. Does anybody remember what the third C was? Catastrophe. You got it. All right, back here. I'm going to hit somebody. Watch out. Woo! Hit the wall. All right. All right, what else do we have? What was the fourth C? Confusion. I heard it. We'll just have to throw candy everywhere. So. It was him? All right. Great job. That was a weak throw. Okay. And then does anybody remember what the fifth C was? Faith. What was the fifth C? Christ. Very good. I heard it over here too. So Jace, did you say it? So great job. And then we had after Christ, we had what? The cross. Very good. The cross. And then what comes after the cross? Consummation. Good job. Good job, Deborah. Wow, Charlotte. As you guys can tell, I've had a lot of sleep this week, so we've been having some fun. I know they look kind of alike. Well, she's sitting right next to her, so. All right. Very good. That was a very good recap. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go over these 7 C's. Now, I'm praying that this morning will bring a reminder for you of what happened this week, what we learned, okay? So pay attention, because you might see the room change a little bit, too, as we go through this. Okay, now before we begin, I want to ask you all a question. This was a big question I asked our teenagers last week. Are you guys ready for this? If we are out on a jungle cruise and we encounter a group of people that have always lived there, what we call an indigenous group of people that we're interested in learning more about, what kinds of things do you think we should ask? Nobody knows. Nobody wants to meet the indigenous group of people. What kinds of questions should we ask? What's that? That's right. We want to tell them about Jesus. That's exactly right. So we'll give you another piece of candy as Mr. Cam knocks it down. We may want to learn more about them because we want to know how we can live with them or be with them because we don't want to get hurt, right? And so there are many ways that we can learn about the culture of this indigenous people. We can read written material. We can observe their practices and what they do, or we can ask a local tour guide. But the best source of learning that information about that group is the indigenous people themselves, right? It would be good to ask them. If the tour guide tells us that the people fish as their primary source of food, but the people themselves tell us that they mostly eat fruit grown from the forest, who should we trust? Okay, those are all good answers. Very good. You're getting ahead of me. Here, Ireland. Good answer. Okay. We should trust the one who actually collects the food, not the tour guide, right? We should trust the indigenous people there. We must consider first the validity of the source. This is especially important when considering something that happened in the past. Okay? Now, can we observe something that happened in the past? Can we observe something today that happened in the past? No. We can make guesses about what we think happened based on what we observe today in the present, or we can ask someone who has been there and witnessed the past event. Which one do you think is more reliable? You're right. She's got the right answers today. I don't have enough candy for that. Okay. The one that is more reliable is the one who has been there in that point in time in the past. And this is why we trust the Bible as our primary source. God was the only one who was here when history began. And he shows his grace and his mercy to us by giving us his word so that we can know the truth. He did not need to give us his word. Did you guys catch that? He did not need to give us his word. He chose to, because he is a good God and he loves us very much and he wants us to have a relationship with him. That's what he wants. Okay? And so now we're going to see really quickly these seven C's of what we learned this week. Okay. So does anybody remember the first memory verse that we learned this week? Very good, Kalia. That was excellent. Here you go, honey. Catch it. Oh, bonk. All right. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created the whole universe. Right. We're almost there. You got it. We're almost there. You guys are catching it. Okay. Now, what did he create? What kinds of things did God create? Do you guys remember what we talked about? Animals, very good, Faith. There was an answer here. The world, very good. Any more answers? Jace? Yes, exactly right. Everything. He created everything. I'm going to hurt somebody. I'm going to try not to. All right. Now, when God made us, he made us unique and special apart from the rest of creation. Does anyone know how? Well, that's what we did. God didn't do that. We'll talk about that in a minute. You guys are doing good remembering these words. Okay? I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Okay? Now listen carefully. The Bible says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" So after God had finished creating the world and all the plant life and the animal life, the Bible tells us about this, about how he made us unique to work with them and to take care of them. God made us in his image. He did not make anything else in his image except for us, people, okay? And he made us to be his representatives over the earth and everything in it. And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, we see that God created us to care for the earth and to work it. If we read on in Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 29, we see how God provided for all of his creatures. The Bible says, "And God said, Behold, I have given every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food." Who can have them? The people. The people can have all of this stuff for food. God gave it to them, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. What was it? It was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Okay? Now you see, when God created everything, he created us and the world in a very specific way with a very specific design, both physically and morally. To teach us about this specific design over time, he gave us his law, the Ten Commandments. And as created beings, as people who could not and would not be here without God forming us with his hands and with the breath of his life, our response to God should be one of thankfulness, because without him, we wouldn't be here, right? So our response to him should be thankfulness, trust, and obedience. Can you guys say that? Obedience. That's right. After all, if he made everything, he should know best about how to live in this world, right? God should know. He's the one who made it. But there's a problem. Rather than seeing the totality, that's right. Rather than seeing the totality and majesty of God's specific design, we are tempted to see his design as restrictive. That's because we focus on the things that God has told us not to do, rather than focusing on the things that God has told us to do and to enjoy. Do you guys see the difference there? We as humans, we like to focus on what our mommies and daddies tell us not to do because, I want to do that thing. But what we don't realize is that they give us so many other things. And God, in his wonder and his grace and his mercy, has given us everything to enjoy. Now, let me give you an example. We just read in Genesis where God gave everything to mankind to enjoy and even set us in dominion over it. And in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, he gave us an opportunity to trust him and obey him, which is what he deserves as our creator. He took one tree. How many trees? One. Only one. How many trees do you think were in the garden? A lot. 40? At least that many, probably more. There were a lot of trees in the garden. And he took one. And he told Adam and Eve, and he said to the man, he created Adam, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." And what happened? They decided to disobey God, right? The serpent came. We see the picture there. The serpent came and deceived them and said, "You will not die. You will be like God, knowing good and evil." And so they thought that it would be good to eat the fruit. You see, when we disobey God, that's called sin. What is sin? Disobedience to God. Deep down, at the core of our disobedience, is the belief that we know what is best. And we don't need God, our creator, telling us how to live. By thinking this way, it's as if we believe that we created the world. And we place ourselves in a higher position than God. Ultimately, sin is a result of us worshiping ourselves and not worshiping God. So God created Adam and Eve in the perfect paradise they were living in. And God said that everything was good. He had provided for their every need simply because he loved them. Did they have any reason to mistrust him or his words or his intentions? No, they had every reason to trust him because he gave them everything. On the other hand, the serpent who tempted them had done nothing for them and had given them no reason to trust him. By choosing to side with the serpent, Adam and Eve chose what they thought was best, and they chose to rebel against God's commandments. And so what happened? A curse came upon the world. Can you guys say curse? Curse. And that's the corruption. This is why we have sickness and disease and death. This is why the animals don't trust us and why we don't trust each other. We all sin and cannot escape its power on our own. We see this truth many times throughout the Bible, especially in one of our second memory verses this week. Does anybody remember Psalm chapter 14, verse 3? Very good, Everest. I'm going to be very careful throwing this one to you. Okay. No one does good, not even one. Psalm 14, 3 says, they have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. And so Adam and Eve were separated from a perfect relationship with God as they were driven out of the garden. And as they had children and the population grew, so did sin and wickedness. People continued to reject the Lord and fulfill their own desires. Because God is just, he hates sin, and he was grieved by the sinfulness of the people. As we read in Genesis chapter 6, God declared he would judge the sin of mankind with a global catastrophic flood. And that's where we get our third C. What's the third C? Catastrophe. Very good. Okay. In fact, in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, we learn that the wages of sin is death. What are the wages of sin? Death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sin brings death, but Jesus brings life. All right, there's a picture of the ark that saved them. All right, and who went on the ark? Noah. That's right, not Moses. I tried to tease somebody last week. It was Noah who went on the ark and took him. Okay, but sadly, even after Noah's family left the ark and they started filling the earth again, it did not take long for mankind to trust themselves more than God. That's right, Kalia, confusion. Okay, what happened when the people started working together? They wanted to build something. Do you guys remember what they wanted to build? That's right, a giant tower to heaven. There's a lot of candy going this way. So, all right, very good. They wanted to, because they thought that they were great among themselves, and they wanted to make a great name for themselves and a great kingdom for themselves, mankind, and were forgetting about God. In fact, after Noah left the ark, one of the commands that God gave Noah was to go, therefore, and multiply and fill the earth. Well, the people said, we don't want to fill the earth. We want to stay right here, lest God disperse us. That's what they were thinking. That was within their hearts. They were disobedient once again. And so God said, I need to confuse them, confuse their language, because they have grown and become a great people. And so God's judgment this time was not a flood. It was to confuse their language. And he gave them many languages and caused them to scatter over the face of the earth. So now God is forcing his will through that. Do you guys see how that worked? Okay. Now people would continue to sin though. And so what we really needed was a savior. We need something or someone to save us from our sin. And that's where Jesus comes in. Christ. That's our, what, fifth C? Are we on five now? Our fifth C. Now, does anybody know who Jesus is? The Son of God. I heard you, Faith. I'm going to pass it back there. Great work. The Son of God. Jesus is God. In Colossians, Paul gives us a hint about who Jesus is. Colossians 1, verses 15 through 17 says, he, being Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. So who created the world? Jesus. That's right. Exactly. You're both right. Because Jesus is God. According to Paul, Jesus created the heavens and the earth. He created all things, and all things were created by him and for him. Okay? And he came to show us how much he loves us. He came to show us how much he loves us. Jesus taught in Matthew 11:29, he said to take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. The compassion and love of Jesus Christ drove him to heal the broken, feed the hungry, and ultimately took him to the cross to take our place and receive the wrath of God that we deserve. Now let me ask you guys a question. This one's a candy-deserving one. Are you ready? Does anyone know, did Jesus ever sin?
No.
Okay, who wants to help me pass out candy? Everybody got that one right. So, all right. We'll get some candy. Oh, man. Here we go. Okay, I'll just get a few over here. That's right. So here, just help me pass them out here, Charlotte. You know, help me pass them out. So, got a few here. Thank you, Jess. All right, very good. Jesus did not sin. But what happened on the cross? What happened to Jesus on the cross? He died. Well, how did he die if he didn't sin? Remember, Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. So how could Jesus have died if he didn't sin? He died for our sins. Exactly. Make sure he gets a piece of candy. I think we're out. We'll have some more. We'll have to figure out something. Okay. Great work. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us this. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus took the place we deserve and received the wrath of God, the judgment that we deserve for being sinners. Now, what do I mean by the wrath of God? What do you guys think I mean by the wrath of God? Let me give you a clue based on what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 27. He cried out with a loud voice while he was on the cross, and he said, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" All throughout the Bible, Jesus referred to God the Father as his Father. And this is the one moment where Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The wrath of God is complete separation from him, and this is our destruction. None of us have ever, ever been completely separated by God. Do you guys get that today? None of you have been completely separated by God or from God. We don't know what that is like. Let me tell you why. Even if you don't believe in God, you live in his creation. You live among his people, the people that he has made. This is the evidence of his presence, and it's inescapable. It surrounds you. But the Bible says that if we die without putting our faith and our hope in Jesus, we will perish and face the judgment of God and live eternally in a place called hell, which is where God will not be present. It's not going to be anything like what we can see today. So is there any hope? Is there hope? I've lost him. Is there any hope? Yes, there's hope. And it's as easy as three letters. A, B, C. A, we must admit that we have sinned. B, we must believe in Jesus. And C, we must confess that he is Lord, or that he is King, and we will be saved. This brings me to another memory verse from this week. Does anybody remember John chapter 1, verse 12? Go ahead, Abigail. Yes, very good, Abigail. You got it. You did pretty good there. Here, honey. All right. Oh, okay. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, He gave the right to become children of God. Okay? And then later on in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10, the Bible tells us, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. There was a story. Actually, it's not a story. It's a real, it actually happened. When Jesus was on the cross, does anybody know who was on either side of him? Does anyone remember, Charlotte? There were two criminals. Very good, Charlotte. There were two criminals. And one criminal looked at Jesus and ridiculed him and said, if you're the Son of God, you should be able to take yourself down, right? Because he's God. Did he have the power to take himself down from the cross? But he chose to stay there, didn't he? Jesus chose to stay there for us. There was another criminal next to the cross. Go ahead, Jace. What do you want to say? Exactly right. Exactly right. The other criminal, the other criminal is actually almost a perfect reflection of what Paul is talking about here in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Okay? The other criminal said, do you not fear God, since we are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds. But this man, meaning Jesus, he has done nothing wrong. That's what the criminal is saying. And he said to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. So this criminal believed in Jesus. He confessed his sins. He knew what he did was wrong. And he knew that when he was on the cross, he was correct in being there. But Jesus was not, because Jesus did nothing wrong. The criminal knew that. And the criminal looked at Jesus and he said, please remember me when you come into your kingdom. That is a confession of Jesus as King, the Lord. Do you guys see that? This criminal confessed Jesus as King, and Jesus said, you'll be with me in paradise. Which brings me to my last C, the last C, and that's consummation. Did you guys know the word paradise there in Luke, where Jesus says, you will be with me in paradise, is actually a word, the same word that's used for a garden? It's almost as if Jesus could be referring back to something that's similar to the Garden of Eden. That's the word that's used there. And so this brings us to our final C, consummation, God's completion of all things. When we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches us that God forgives us of our sin, and he launches it as far as the east is from the west. He welcomes us with open arms because he wants to have a relationship with us. He wants us to live with him in his kingdom forever. How long? Forever. That's right. There will be a day when Jesus returns and brings about the completion of all things, when the world is restored to the way it was designed, free from sin. The Bible gives us a vision of this, and this is one of our last memory verses. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. Does anybody remember what that verse is? This is a tough one. That's right. Very good, Kalia. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Don't you want that? Don't you want that? I mean, or do you just want to keep living in this world? We want to see Jesus return to restore the world the way it's to be. We need to have a relationship with God, and then we can live with him in his kingdom forever. I can't imagine it any other way. Won't you admit, believe, and forever receive the love of Christ today? Let us pray, and then we'll sing some more songs, and then we'll close, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time you've given us this morning. We thank you for how the creative creators of the curriculum that we use this week came up with those seven C's that we see from the Bible, that we can pull from the Bible and see all throughout history. It is your story. History is his story. And I just pray that you would just help us to see that as we enjoy and celebrate our time together the rest of this afternoon. We thank you for what you've given us in your word so we can learn more about you. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.